Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, Los Angeles. Welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics. I am Nick Newmont. It is Tuesday night and 7 o'clock here in Los Angeles. Welcome to another great show. And my guest this evening is longtime friend Anita Rosenberg. We will be talking to her in a few moments. There's a lot of things that we do, the Newmonts do, that we have not done on the show yet. And we've had a lot of great guests who do incredible things and specialized things that we don't do. And tonight's show is a new topic, and it's going to lead into what Audrey and I do next week on our show. And as you can see, no Audrey tonight. Audrey's got the night off, but she is she is home watching. And you know, here we are. We're into almost the middle of August, and I know that people are clamoring and wanting to know when certain planets are going to go direct, and everybody's got to hold on. And as I've said before on other shows, there are going to be a lot of changes that happen, you know, in the country. A lot of decisions are going to be made. And, you know, coming from the psychic angle, you know, as I've said before, that in the next few weeks or so, there is going to be a shift that happens all of a sudden, and things are going to change. And I've seen this happen. I've been seeing this happening for months now. This is coming, and especially as we push toward the planets that are going to change direction as we get into September and early October. And I know that compassionately, people are getting tired of what's been going on, and people have a right to be tired, you know, of what's going on. But hang in there and stay positive. And know that positive shifts are coming. And I continually run the chart of the United States. I run the chart of the president. And if you get in touch with me and you ask me who's going to win the presidential election, don't be upset with me with what I tell you. I'm coming from a psychic angle, not from opinion, not from political side or the other. I see what's unfolding, and I have a really good idea of how this is going to turn out. So anyway, I'm not going to belabor that because I would really like to get into what our guest has to offer tonight. Welcome to the show, a longtime friend, Anita Rosenberg. Anita, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
So, yes, you and I have known each other a long time, and I've watched you grow from things that you did into things that you morphed into and things that you're doing now. And your life, you know, aside from what you do for a living, your life has morphed a lot. And it is an example of when people take a spiritual path, but indoctrinate themselves with inspired belief systems, life does change, right?
Yes, it does. You've seen a lot of transitions, some career transitions as well.
Right. Yeah, and I have known you since the early 90s, so that's pretty amazing. So what you do, you know, and you can label yourself as the occupation, you are a feng shui artist. And as a credit to you, and all my viewers and listeners know that I'm a big proponent of formally studying and formally going to school. I am not in favor of weekend workshops that allow some kind of certificate of attendance. And when people go out and start doing things where they have a huge effect on people. And one of the things that's really important in today's world, whatever occupation it is trust. Trust us because someone has referred them. So you are schooled in what you do. So anyway, like, tell us a little bit about your past and morphing through, and then the present, Anita.
Okay. Well, my past sort of started, I'm an artist and filmmaker. And when you had met me, I was one of the few female directors in Hollywood. I directed Assault of the Killer Bimbos and Modern Girls. I had gone to art school and I'd gone to film school. I was transitioning in the 90s because I got tired of the dangling carrot of the movie business. And I went back to my artistic roots and I built a $1 million decor hand painted furniture business out of my garage in the Hollywood Hills. And you and I worked a lot because as an artist, you don't always know, well, how am I going to make a living doing this? But having come from the film business, I used all the knowledge and information I learned from movie making, and I applied it to this business and grew a rather large and pretty fabulous and fun creative business. And then one of the big transitions that happened next for me, I was at Hong Kong, and I was having my line manufactured in China, and I was on a tour of the Peak, and the tour guide is feng shui this and feng shui that, and it's the belly of the dragon, and I'm like, I want to know what this is, and I want to apply it to my life. And it just was fascinating. So originally, I used feng shui to make my booths as a trade show do well, so I could make money. And I first studied with Tara Kathleen Collins, who does Western School of Feng Shui. And she happens to be in San Diego. And I never thought in a million years this would be my career. I'm not sure when you and I worked together, you thought this would be my career. But I found that because I am actually a natural intuitive, it really worked well for me. So I've been doing this for 20 years now. I have been a full-time feng shui and Chinese astrology expert for a very long time with many degrees and many studies and lots of layers to it. I don't necessarily do the Western school anymore. I mean, I can walk into a place and I can look through my eyes with the Western techniques, but really I do Chinese classical feng shui. I really do the real deal of feng shui. Right. It's a little bit different.
Cool. And that is, and that's really important because I have encountered people who speak of feng shui and they do sort of a modernized version, and it may have its accuracies, but excuse the expression, it's sort of a bastardized version of the ancient version of what you're taught.
Right. I think what happened was if you study just great, basically in the 50s, the people in the United States, Westerners, wanted to interpret feng shui, and they created something called the Black Hat Sect. And it was a very watered-down version, which puts a Bagua map and says, this, when you enter, it's always the career, and then this area is always your money, and this area is always your love, and it's very simplistic. It is not accurate. However, it can work if you believe it works, because intent is pretty important. So I do think there's a lot of elements to it that I still sort of apply and like. However, once I really understood what the compass school, so I mean, one thing I will tell your viewers out there are probably, that I don't know the exact number, 6-8 different types of feng shui, from like Purple Star to Flying Star to Botsai to Eight Mansions to Wong Kong Dagua. I mean, there's so many types and they all contradict themselves. So the point is that, yeah, that you can't layer them all, because this one will say this area is bad in the house, but it's good for you. It's bad in your Qimen feng shui, but it's good in your Zhuang Kong. They contradict. So as a practitioner, I have had to pick, well, what works for me. And I like Eight Mansions the best, because Eight Mansions sets up your space and the energy long term. And then I like to layer it with your personal chart. So you have your Chinese astrology, which tells you where your personal good directions, because there might be an area in your house that has maybe not such great energy, but it might be a personal good direction for you. And so as a practitioner, I got to call the shots. I've got to decide, what do I think outweighs the other? And that's when you've been doing it for as long as I have or longer, that's when you kind of call your intuition to go, okay, this is where I'm going to go with it. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely. Let me ask you a question, and if you don't know the answer, it's okay. What do the words feng shui translate literally as? Do you know?
Wind and water.
Okay, thank you.
Wind and water. I mean, really, I'll tell you what feng shui really is. It's about energy and it's about the environment. Mm-hmm. Inside your house is the small tai chi, the small energy. But the bottom line is, when you really are looking at feng shui, what's outside? Where's the mountain? Where's the water? What is holding your energy in? If you have in a city, it could be where are the wires, where are the poles, where's the busy street. If you're out in the mountains, it could be where's the mountain, where's the ocean. People like to put the little fountains. The fountains don't mean anything. What you want is real water. You want the larger bodies of water. Is there a lake? Is there an ocean? Is there a creek? Is there a river? Those are the real things. It's an environmental science. It's about the environment. And it is actually scientific calculation.
It's amazing. In fact, I learned something from you today in an earlier conversation. And once I played that back in my head, because when I hear something, curiosity comes up, and then, you know, I have to go check it out. So, and this will be a fun segue. I asked you a question today on the phone. Is there anything that feng shui can do to help with all the quote unquote illness that's out there right now? And your answer had to do with a direction in the house. Do you remember?
Right. Well, you know, you were asking me about health, and I have actually, I've worked with different people where they had health issues, and I could, in particular, I'm just going back on a client, and that particular year, the flying star was, her bedroom was had the illness star, and that's where they were sleeping, and there were other components to feng shui that were making that area not so good. And this was just a very rare case. I asked if she could sleep in the guest room. I think it was her child's room or the guest room because she was having health issues. And right. I normally would not say to do that, but she did, and the health issues were fine. So there's things that we can do. But I wanted to share one thing that everyone can do right away. And this is actually a really high level of feng shui. And it's Qi Men. Qi Men Jinja is the magical mystical component of Chinese metaphysics. And this year in particular, in the northeast sector of everyone's house, is the tiger energy, which is about, it's a deity or guardian energy, which is strength and health and healing and vibrancy. If you're not feeling so good this year, or even if you're having a down week or moment, if you find, you take a compass, and so everyone's got them on their phone, and you stand in the middle of your house and you look to see where is the compass leading. You go to the northeast edge corner sector of your house. Now you could just go there and hang out, because what activates an area is not coins and chimes and weird stuff that I see when I went to Paula Abdul's house years ago, and some feng shui person had stuck weird things under the carpet in the corners. I'm like, what the heck? Okay, let's get rid of these things. You don't need those things. All you need to activate the chi is just go in the area, be in there. Activating is just being there. So number one is you can go to the northeast area and just use it. You can also go to the northeast, put your back to the northeast, in the northeast, and meditate and work on healing. You can, and you'd probably be great at advising surrounding themselves in a healing ball of energy. I know the white light the best one. Like, what would be a good healing meditation to do in that sector?
And that's, well, that's something that I would, I won't go into all the details, but there are things, visualizations in the meditation that I teach people to do.
Okay.
And so, but I want to share something with you, which is, you don't know, and this viewing audience is really going to appreciate, because this is going to support what you just said. So in our center, when my office was next to Audrey's, this is that's the southwest corner. In March, right before COVID, remember I expanded and I moved all the way across, and I'm now in the northeast corner of this suite.
Oh.
My business has been insane. And what do I do most of the time? I'm a healer. All right.
That's
so
perfect.
That is for those of you watching, and Anita had no idea that I was going to say this, but I thought about it, you know, and I, what she was saying earlier, I took that under advisement and went, I need to check out what happened. I went, oh my God, I'm in the Northeast now. And my back faces most of the time.
Wow. Well, it gives me chills because it's awesome. So the thing to do is, if you look at your house in the Northeast is like a cluttered room, or it's dirty, or it's chaotic, or whatever, then that's not good. So that's the first thing you need to do, is make sure that that room is, whatever it is, energetically is really yummy. Like at your house, what did you say, was the kitchen?
In mine, it's the kitchen where the coffee maker is, in that corner.
Okay. Well, and the sector's more than just the coffee maker, so that means the kitchen, yeah. And you guys like to cook and you like to be there, and that's your health, yes, and healthy eating. So yeah, that's a really important thing. I almost, you know, I wasn't feeling so good today. I'm feeling much better now. But I'm like, all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, I need to take my own advice. I need to get back into the Northeast corner and get back into meditating, because that will be a tool that I can use.
Well, and here's another funny thing about our house. So on the second floor, the Northeast corner is our bathroom, and the bathtub is right in the Northeast corner.
So take more baths.
Right. And Audrey has been. That's the funny thing. So anyway, for those who are watching, this completely supports what Anita is talking about, because this is feng shui in action. All right. So one thing, Anita, that I wanted to compliment you on, you know, when people formally study with a teacher or teachers, some people forget, and some people, you know, quote or re-quote that person. And I do get your newsletters and I read what you write, and I feel as if I know who Joey Yap is. And seriously, you compliment him and you're quoting him all the time. And when we've had the opportunity to study with people who are really experts in what they do, you know, giving honor to those before us is really important. So,
because you brought up a really interesting point at the beginning, which is people can go take a weekend course or a class, and they feel like, oh, now I can go feng shui all my friends because I took a class and a course. And I really do think at the beginning days of feng shui, that was probably more the style. Like, I'll do a class, I'll attend a lecture, I'll know how to do it, and I'll work with people. And I think in any of these metaphysical and spiritual realms, what is the most important, and what Joey actually always teaches, is that the fields of practice that have been around for a long time are the roots. They've been around a long time, and they're going to continue to be around. It's not like I just invented like my version of feng shui today. I mean, I take the ancient, now I might interpret it for my audience and for the modern world, which is kind of what he does, which I think is pretty amazing. But he was commenting that you'll see a lot of fads and trends of spiritual things come and go, but mm-hmm. the things that are rooted in ancient times and ancient beliefs are the ones that are going to stay.
Right.
And I just know, even for me, you know, I have to go back and take a class and raise my level of expertise or learn something new or be refreshed and reminded. It's complicated. I mean, there's way too many things that he's teaching that I have to kind of pick and choose and figure out what's resonating with me. And then those are the tools that I will then pass on to empower other people to use.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And information is meant to be shared. You know, it's not meant to be held on to. We are supposed to pass it on. Now, I have some questions, you know, and playing the devil's advocate, and as if I don't know you, you know, first of all, is feng shui everywhere?
Well, everything's alive.
So
it's a life force energy. So everything's alive and everything has energy. So yes, it's everywhere.
What happens with people who don't use it, don't believe in it, don't acknowledge it? I mean, it's there, it's mystical. It's part of nature. But is there anything, you know, nothing bad happens to people, but what about people that don't honor it?
Do happen to people.
Oh,
people
no.
who lose their money and can't hold money in, and then they get sick, and then they have arguments. I mean, if you, I'll give you an example. This comes to mind. I had to feng shui a house in Aspen many years ago. They were selling it. And in front of the house was a tree that went like this. Okay, like one, and it goes like this, and it's blocking the front door. Okay, so what is that? That means that everyone who lives in that house is getting divorced. Everyone who lived in that house got divorced. It blocked that energy. The people that were selling got divorced. And then another component they had in the back of the house was a mountain formation. It was a, I'm trying to think of the name. It was, it had the robbery shawl. It was a mountain formation with robbery shawl. So that means that, yeah, somebody could come in the back door and rob stuff. Well, what happened was two things. People came in the back door and robbed the house, and some bears got in the back door and started messing up the house as well. So things in the environment, when people can't explain it, then they call up your feng shui person and go, oh, well, I need help because I had this problem. And sometimes it is the environment. It's with what we see outside. Isn't that wild?
Sure. So is the feng shui of the land more important than the feng shui in the house?
Yeah.
Okay, that's really important to know that. Because yes, I have been to people's homes, and part of me that I've really never gotten into yet with a viewing audience is the fact that I cleanse and bless homes via the pentagram ritual, and that's not feng shui. I don't do what you do. I never will pretend.
No, but I call you in a lot when I told you today, I had a client that called yesterday and was like, yeah, I think you need Nick.
Well, and that's part of our working relationship. And you and I do separate things, but it has the same intention. So have you ever gone to a house and went through it and just thought to yourself, oh man, this is bad. I mean, this is not for a job for me to do, but looking at it is beyond help.
Yes. I try really, there's no perfect feng shui. So I really try hard when I go in and work with people to come up with some positive solutions on things that we can do. What happens frequently is someone will buy the wrong house. And if they had come to me when they were originally shopping for the house, I would have said, you bought the wrong house. But I believe that every house that you live in or every apartment you live in is a lesson you're there to learn. So if somebody bought a house that's bringing up things, it's a lesson they were meant to learn. And I try to educate them a little bit about, here's what you'd be looking for when you get your next place. So it's more, I think, of that nature. And, you know, there are a couple deal breakers. You want to hear what the deal breakers are? Because right now people are buying property, right? There's a lot of people are buying new houses right now.
Yes, they were.
There's just a few deal breakers in which I would say to someone, walk away, don't get the house. So one of the deal breakers is when you walk in, and it's a cliche one you hear, when you walk in the front door and the staircase is leading out the front door.
Right.
Because staircases are like water, and water is wealth, and it's like your wealth leaves the house. And I've had people list houses in the past with that situation. So a Band-Aid is a circular rug or a crystal. It's such a Band-Aid. It really... I would, if somebody came to me and wanted to buy that house, I'd go to the right house and the stairs went out the front door. And they had the house for a while. We did the circular rug and the crystal, but the whole time he was there, his money left faster than it came in. And that changed the minute he moved to a new house. Dead ends. Dead ends are dead cheap. And I know sometimes what families like to live at the end of a dead end because they've got children and it's a lot more quiet, right?
Right.
But
that's
if you're
right.
At a dead end, I mean, it's the cheap, it doesn't have anywhere to go. It's dead. So in that case, it would be preferable not to live at the end of the dead end. At least be on one of the houses on the side. So
sure.
It can circulate. That's what we don't like. We don't like the kitchen in the center of the house. So the center of the house is the earth energy, and it's supposed to be quiet. It's like the heart of your house. And if you have a fiery kitchen, what do you think that gives you? Heartburn. So those are people that are going to have heartburn, arguments, fights. No, not good energy. So I would avoid, if you're building house, I would avoid doing that as well. And I would say not as a deal breaker, but you know, what you want in feng shui is you want a house that has all the blocks, that's rectangular or square, because it contains all the energy. So when you have a house that's, you know, California, we have a lot of L shapes. Sometimes we have a lot of U shapes. So if you have a sector, it'll affect different people in the house in different ways. So see, I'll give you actually an example I'm allowed to share that's really lovely. So a client of mine is Miranda Kerr, who's a beautiful and wonderful CEO of Core Organics, a supermodel, and she really wanted a husband and to be in love. And her house in Malibu was missing the husband sector, the spouse sector. It was an outdoor patio. And so I told her that, oh my gosh, she gets an A+ for the best client in the world. 2 weeks later, she closed it in, covered it up, and immediately she started dating Evan Spiegel. They got married, the guy created Snapchat, and they got two kids.
Right.
So that is an example of, you listen to your feng shui person, they give you something really simple and why you should do it. And if it's something you're very motivated and you take action, I mean, oh my God, the minute she did that, her whole energy shifted in that area of her life. It was missing a spouse.
Right.
Even though she was dating these amazing men, she didn't have that energy. Isn't that wild?
Yep. And you know, one thing, as you said, that she did it, you know, for all of us that are some form of practitioner, no matter what magic we're able to bestow, people still have to do the work. And that is huge today, whether in therapy or something that's done in the home, people have to do the work. We're
not throwing fairy dust at you and walk it up. If I could throw fairy dust and change your life, I would love to do that.
Of course.
I do that. You have
of course.
To, and then it's completely up to you what work you want to do. You don't have to do everything that we say. You pick and choose, and then it's your life.
Right. Right. And people choose. People make their choices in life. And when we are showing them, you know, what they need to do, and of course, you know, like for instance, if I do bless a house and I see that there's something in there that's without my realm, you know, I tell them, you know, you really need to, and I will say it like that, you really need to get Anita to come in and do this, because I don't do feng shui. And sometimes it's so simple. I think that, and this is something that you can elaborate on, Anita, there are some misconceptions about feng shui that would mean that people have to go and do obscure things like put paper in ceiling tiles, and they've got to spend all this money.
And go shopping. I think people don't want to bring in a feng shui person because they think they're going to send them shopping for furniture.
I mean, I knew of a case years ago where they brought in a feng shui person, and it was a very old, like really old Asian man. And because of what was going on in the kitchen, he made them put the stove up on like blocks. I mean, it was extreme things. So anyway.
So here's the thing. If you do get an Asian person who comes and do feng shui, they're going to be real picky on the stove. Sometimes they'll tell you your stove is bringing in bad energy, and they'll make you put like a stove on the island and use that. And they might tell you, don't sleep in your bedroom anymore, go sleep in the living room. I mean, the reality is, as a Western, more of a Western practitioner, you have to kind of weigh the two different things. It's a slightly different conversation. Not to say that what they're doing doesn't work, but, you know, sometimes somebody can't take the door off the hinges and move it like, you know, 12 inches and slant it to bring in better chi. It's very interesting when you have someone who is a, also like one of the things I think people have to remember is there's also, if you have someone who comes in who's Chinese, a lot of times it's cultural. So like, I love Fudongs and I love Buddhas. I love I love Kuan Yin and Ganesh, and I love bamboo shoots, but they are not feng shui. And I love crystals. Those are more, they're more spiritual. And also a lot of like, someone just said to me, oh, I had someone come in and feng shui my office, and they had me do the red packets and the coins. And I go, do you want your place to look like a Chinese souvenir shop? Because that's what it's looking like. So do I think those things work? I do like them, but the point of it is it's very superstitious. If you're culturally Chinese, they're superstitions, and you're going to implement those in your feng shui suggestions.
And as added things, you and I both sell crystals. We both sell candles. We have these lovely additives for the home, but they're energetic, yes, but they are not feng shui.
They're not. And you know, the thing is, people have me come in and they think, oh, you're going to move my couch. That's like, oh my God, no, I don't want to move your couch. And then the other thing people think, this is a myth, is, and I did this for years, Nick, I really did. You have to keep the toilet lid down because you're flushing your money out down the toilet. Look, in the old days, they didn't have toilets. So no, that is not true. And the reality is, how much time and energy do you spend? I love when Joy goes, when people go buy into it, they go, how much time are you spending on the toilet? Are you spending one third of your life on your toilet? If you are, you're having a real problem with your system. We don't spend that much time in the bathroom on the toilet. So it doesn't even come into play. It looks nicer to have the seat down, but you are not flushing your money down the toilet.
All right. See, this is good stuff, because these are myths and wives' tales that people talk about. I have a question for you, and it's regarding the Bagua map. Okay. And I have read books. I've always been curious about feng shui, but what Bagua maps are accurate, not accurate. And if people don't know, the Bagua map is an overlay with areas, 9 areas. Anita, you explain that better than me.
All right, well, I have my little book in front of me. Let me see if I can find an example. I did not bookmark it, but I am sure I have a Bagua map someplace in here. And if I can't get to it quickly, I will just fail on that concept. Which I think that is a bail on concept.
And as you're looking, I have some questions for you. As you're looking for that. And so kind of think about this one, Anita. So when you're doing feng shui and you do it by the book, of course, does your intuition about something ever come in and where you may override the feng shui?
I can't find it. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have to use my intuition. I find that in making, I am the tool. I come in, and as the tool, I actually know what's happening in someone's life just by walking through their space. I see it, I know it, I feel it. But then I need to kind of translate it to them. One of the things, so talk about the bottleneck. So I'm sorry I don't really have a picture, but you take the floor plan and you put a grid over it that's divided up into 9 boxes. You can do a grid that actually is more like a pie. So that's another type of shape that divides it up right. Into the same sectors. And one of the things is the first thing I do in 8 mansions is I will look at the facing and the sitting of a house. The facing is usually, not always, where the front door is. If the house had a face, where would it be facing? Sometimes the door is on the side, right? But the house seems to face the
right.
So that would be the facing, and the sitting would be the back. And you do the grid, and there is a, it divides up the house, and it lets you know, number one, is it an east or a west gua house? So there's 2 guas, and those will give you the directions in it. So there's always 4 good areas of the house and 4 not good. So you are going to have some not good areas of the house. What you want to do, ideally, is it'd be nice if they were the bedrooms or the entryway. Interestingly enough, you want your kitchen to be in a negative sector because it's a very hot and fiery room, so it counters the negative. So you kind of look at the first layout. You have a room and a not so good sector. We can look at another map, and we can figure out which wall based on you personally should your bed be facing. So it's more detail that we can do. The other component is everybody has what's called a Bazi chart. It's Chinese astrology chart. Yep. It is used to personalize your feng shui. In the old days, that's all it was used for. Today, it's a standalone practice. I use it for cosmic coaching, career, business, because everything in your life is in your chart. Everything from how many times you'll be married to who you'll be married to how many kids, what kind of career. But in it, what is really important is it's going to tell me, are you an East or West Gua person? So let's say your house is a West Gua house and you're a West Gua person. Then it's like, yay, you're going to really like this house. Right. Had people house, they're an East Gua person. It doesn't match them. Normally what happens is they don't stay in that house that long. The house that they're there to learn a lesson, and then they end up leaving. If you and your spouse are different Guas, you want the house to match the main bread earner. If the main bread earner is the wife,
that's interesting.
Match her. If it's the man, it matches him. And then you tweak it for the other person. Right. How you tweak it is that everybody personally has good and bad directions. I think actually sometimes that's even better. So let's say there's a room that has kind of like doesn't have great, is not in a great sector. It's in an inauspicious sector, but it's a great sector for you personally. Well, that might be a great room for you to have as a home office. Mm-hmm. Great room for you to use because it has your personal energy. And I feel like sometimes that's even more powerful. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. There are times that I go in and to do a house, to bless a house, and it's a bedroom or an office. And I know people do a lot of different things today with their office space, but there's times that it'll actually be a bedroom. It's built to be a bedroom. And I'll tell them, if this doesn't feel like a bedroom, this is not bedroom energy. And I'm not looking at a Bagua map. I just know that this is not. Then I'll ask them, because of the busyness of the energy, you know, the person sleeps in here. Do they sleep well? And they'll go, no. And I said, because the energy in here is not, it's not bedroom energy.
So that's you just sort of tuning in. And then I think what I love about the feng shui component, when I get to really go in and I bring in a map, I do offsite work first. I go to Google Earth, I get their floor plan, I break it all down. Before I walk in the door, I know everything going on in the house.
Good,
I don't just walk in and go, I'm just going to kind of. Now, when I did Western feng shui, I did, because I didn't, it was not set up on planning and calculating and looking at all these different components. It was, Western was more like, I'm just going to walk in the door and let's just see what happens. Right. So I used that past experience to walk in and see what happens. But before I walk in, I already know what's going to happen. I know if their Ming Tang, which is the bright hall, which is the entry, is not bringing in any good energy. So that's another really important space. I mean, the room you walk into, your front door, your front entry. I mean, you've been into homes where you walk in and they have a lovely entry with beautiful greeters and maybe some flowers, and you feel very welcome, and the chi can circulate and hang and then move through the house.
Right.
And then you've been to houses where you walk in and they're just built, a lot of California houses, they're built, you walk in and there's a wall. And the worst thing you want to do is put a mirror. The minute you put a mirror when you walk in, it just sends the energy right back out.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you could put it on either side. I remember many, many years ago, I was looking at open houses in Hollywood, and I knew that we walked up to an open house, and all the people walking in the front door had been turning around, walking back out, and going in another entrance. So I walked in, and the first thing you saw was a big mirror. So it was in my early days where I was giving everyone free feng shui advice. So I went up to the realtor and said, you've got to move the mirror because you're pushing everyone's energy. You notice they're walking back out. They're not even walking in the door. Yeah. But they took it down. And about 2 minutes later, everyone just kept walking in the door. So it's energetically, mirrors are very strong energetically. They're not classically a feng shui element, but they would be more like a Western feng shui kind of element. Mm-hmm.
They're on an energetic level. I did a house some years ago. These people were mirror crazy. And I mean, they had mirrors everywhere. I told them, I said, you got to start taking these mirrors down because the energy was just bouncing everywhere.
Well, it's fragmented. And if you have mirrors bouncing on both sides of a hallway, that is horrible. And you don't want them in your bedroom, because in your bedroom, it's supposed to be, sex and recharging your battery. That's it. So if you've got computers and TVs and the laundry and you've got active mirrors and things, those are all the things that stir up. You have no ceiling fans in the bedroom. That's something that you just want really quiet energy.
I think you told me one time, Anita, that that when people have the bedroom, the mother and father's bedroom, where they have a lot of family pictures in there, that's not really right. I think you said it's like your family members are watching you make love.
Yes. So, and that's another, I mean, I still love my Western chips, I swear to God, because that's not something Joey Yap would ever bring up. But I think it's really important. Yes. If you're a single person, you don't have any photos at all in your bedroom. If you are in a relationship, you have your significant other. I will tell you, my sister's husband, and one of their houses many years ago, on their bedside table, the big 8x10 of his parents. I'm like, oh my God, you guys, they're watching you sex. This is like not good. And they're like, oh my God. But like, they moved it, and then they had romantic pictures, and like their love life really like kind of tweaked and changed. And a lot of like people like to have their kids. No, we don't. That's not where we put our kids' pictures.
Right. Right, exactly. Anita, a couple questions before we do run out of time. The first question I have is literally a global question. Is there something wrong with the feng shui of the earth right now?
I don't know.
I know, it's a loaded question.
You know, in Chinese astrology metaphysics, what we're really actually looking for is more of the qi men component. We're looking to see things that are triggered. We're not looking really at the feng shui necessarily. I mean, that's not what Joey's looking at. So that's not really my reference point. One of the things that he had looked at, and I think this is kind of interesting to share, you know, he was talking about, well, we knew we were going to have a recession this year. At the beginning of the year, the Chinese astrological forecast was, I was saying to people, you should have 6 to 9 months worth of money socked away. And I didn't know why I was saying it. And I know for a lot of people, it was like just a throwaway comment, but it's really pretty true. So for people who didn't have 6 to 9 months worth of money put away, they're struggling and having a difficult time. We didn't know what was going to trigger the recession in Chinese astrology. So Joey said, look, it's easy to look back and figure it out later. And he did. He looked and he saw there was a solar eclipse. You would know the date better than me. I think it was December 25th. And we looked at the Qi Men map and chart to see what was being hit. And the two areas being hit by the eclipse in a negative way were the wellness, health, so the health and wellness of the world, and money. So the money, so what triggered the money was the hit on the wellness and the health.
Sure.
So it was kind of like, oh my God. And we can see that now clearly looking back. It'd be nice to predict ahead, but we can't always predict ahead. But that was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, that is. That is. I think that's cool. And one thing that somewhere sooner than later, I want to get you back on the show so that you can do Bozzi chart and demonstrate that. Because you've communicated very clearly that there's personal feng shui with the Bozzi chart and all of that. And I think that's something that once people see that, they'll understand this better, that it's not this generality, all right? There's a lot of personal specifics.
You know, the thing that might be nice to do it is I could give everybody a link to pull up their own chart so that I can actually go through and give some highlighted things, because it's not like Western astrology where you know you're a Pisces or Sagittarius. And right. For someone who says, oh, I'm a monkey because I was born near the monkey. In Chinese astrology, that represents your grandparents and your long-term goals. So it really is not that important of a component. But in order to give you personal info, you have to actually have a chart.
Right. Anita, what is, someone says to me, do you know a good feng shui person? Of course I do, Anita. So what is the... Why would someone have you come to their house? What is the main reason that someone would reach out to you and bring you in?
First of all, when you move into a new place, you have one chance to set it up. That's it. The energy that you set up, the way you place everything, is that's it. It's one chance to set it up. So that would probably be, whether it's an apartment, I don't care if you're renting or you own it, it still has to be set up for all the things that you want to. We're all working at home now. You better have a really good power place to work from, and you better be sitting in a power position, because if you're not, you're going to be very frustrated working at home.
Right.
I would say that's probably the most important thing. Also, every year, there are what's called feng shui activations. They are the bins. They are the everything. Oh, my God. Like, I can't live without them. It is calculated in Qimen. It's going to be a series of dates you can pick from. It's a specific area, sector. It's time, a very specific time. We either have a water activation, which is you put a big water vase. We're talking a big-ass water vase for 2 weeks. Or you shift and move the furniture and everything in the space. You trigger the chi, you're like acupuncturing the house for 2 hours. And we have them for health and wealth and relationships, studying for kids. So that, I usually get that information around October, November. So we have October, November, December, maybe some in January. You want to get that set up so that by February, you're ready to go for the year. So even if you didn't have me come in and feng shui your whole space, it's a do-it-yourselfer kind of thing that you can do. So those are important.
Okay, good. That's really good to know. Anita, before we do run out of time, please tell everyone, if they'd like a consultation with you, how to get a hold of you, phone, email, how do people get?
Well, I did a do-it-yourself book, okay? It's called Feng Shui Law. It's got everything in it. So it's only $20. It's on my website, which is anitarosenberg.com. I made it because I couldn't afford to have a consultation, and you know, not everybody wants to do an online consultation, and they want to do it themselves. So this is a really great reference book to get. My website's anitarosenberg.com. I am on every social platform. So Instagram, Anita Rosenberg Studio, Facebook, Anita Rosenberg or Anita Rosenberg Studio. I got hundreds of YouTube channel videos. You can go to LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm not that active on Twitter, but I'm up on it, but I'm not that active.
Right.
So, I guess those are all the platforms, right? It's just my name. It's Anita Rosenberg. So,
well,
follow me sign up for my newsletter. I don't send them that often, but you know, I just sent one actually today about talking. And gosh, I got so many people got back to me today, just because I was like, you know, I'm talking to Nick today, and it will be archived later, so you can watch it later as well.
Sure. By the way, your people that know who we are know we have a store here at the center. Why isn't your book for sale at the Newmont Center available?
You know what? There is not enough of a profit margin to sell wholesale.
That's funny.
That is why. It's a self-published book. You know, I have a lot of clients these days that I just say, just self-publish some books. So I have a series of 4 books in my lucky series. I have one on Batsa. I have one on selling real estate, feng shui for real estate, one on practical magic and the feng shui. So I might make 5 copies. I might print 10 copies. I don't print enough, but thank you for offering.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it'd be great to have some here. Anita, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, and I would love to have you back sooner than later to talk about Bozzi charts that all tie all this together. You really know what you're doing, and people that I have sent to you really loved, you know, what you do. And I know you very, very well, and I know you're very much of integrity, and you pride yourself on your studies and your knowledge. And you only come from a place of intention. So, you know, for people, you're welcome. And I know there's a lot of people that do what I do. There's a lot of people that do what you do. But for people that know me well and who I recommend and who Audrey recommend, you are excellent at what you do. And if someone is looking for the proper way to do feng shui, either reach out to Anita or reach back to me and I'll connect you with Anita. Anyway, we've got to say goodnight. thank you so much to Anita. Thank you to everyone out there for watching. Audrey and I will be back next week, and we will be talking about crystals and candles and things like that to put in the home. This has been Mainstream Metaphysics. I hope to see you next week. Remember, everyone, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Good night now.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.